This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India Rankings 2024 for Higher Educational Institutions. The participants are Professor M. Jagdish Kumar, Chairperson, UGC, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor.
Professor Kumar, a warm welcome to Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
So can you provide an overview of the NIRF, National Institutional Ranking Framework 2024, ranking and their significance? And how does the NIRF 2024 ranking methodology differ from previous years, if at all?
As you know, the National Institutional Ranking Framework, NIRF, it was started in 2016. And this is the 9th edition of NIRF. And what is interesting is that in this 9th edition, we witnessed overwhelming response from our Indian educational institutions. This year, little over 6,500 institutions participated. And this is a clear indication of the growing recognition of NIRF as a credible benchmark. Because for students and parents and for others who would like to have admissions in our educational institutions, they would like to know how well these institutions are doing in terms of the teaching learning processes, the research ecosystem, and the kind of faculty they have, the kind of infrastructure they have. So all these parameters are part of the NIRF ranking process, and therefore NIRF ranking provides a great platform for measuring the various institutional quality aspects. Now, in addition to the large number of institutions participating in this year's NIRF ranking, what we have done this year is introduce three new categories. And these categories are the state public universities, and then the open universities, and the third one is the skill universities. Now, let me very briefly tell you why introducing these three categories is very important. As you know, the number of students who study in the state public universities is very high. In the centrally funded institutions, out of 4.3 crore students that we have in higher education system, in the centrally funded institutions, we have only about 6% of the students. The remaining 94% of the students, they are in the state public universities, private universities, deemed to be universities, and also the open universities. And now the skill universities are picking up. So by introducing the state public universities as a separate category, we are now recognizing the contributions made by the state public universities. And then you have nearly 85 universities currently which are offering the online education in open and distance learning mode and also in the online mode. But we have nearly 18 state open universities which are reaching out to lakhs of students. So to recognize their contribution, we have introduced the open universities and skill universities. The introduction of skill universities also signals our intent about the importance of providing skill education to our students. Now, there are two ways in which UGC is doing this. One is by introducing the skill-based courses as part of the regular degree programs. And the second aspect is to promote the establishment of more skill universities across the country. Okay. And currently, we have about 25 skill universities across the country. When you provide skill component to our students, their employability, their employment opportunities will increase.
So, Professor Kumar, the 9th edition of NIRF was released on Monday, and the number of higher education institutions participating rose from 3,565 in 2016 to 10,845 in 2024. The rankings now encompass 16 categories and subject domains, up from 4 in 2016. My question to you is that NIRF assesses institutions based on 5 broad parameters: teaching, learning and resources, research and professional practice, graduation outcomes, outreach and inclusivity, and perceptions. We would like you to elaborate on these 5 broad parameters.
Right. As I mentioned, there are newer pedagogical approaches that need to be introduced in our teaching learning processes in order to make our students more creative and innovative. So what new processes that you are introducing in the teaching processes, both inside the classroom and outside the classroom? So that becomes one of the important parameters. And then, as I said, we have certain national goals in terms of achieving technological advances, such as building better digital public infrastructure, developing better communication systems, building a better research ecosystem. And also, the national education policy talks about providing better access and equity to our students, considering the diversity that we have in our country. So therefore, institutional reach out also becomes an important component when we talk about the institutional ranking framework.
Okay, let's get into the performance analysis. Which institutions have topped the NIRF 2024 rankings and what are their key strengths, combined with how do this year's top ranked institutions compare to their performance last year? And what trends, importantly, can be observed in the performance of institutions over the last few years leading up to NIRF 2024?
Right. I would like to highlight some key and very interesting outcomes that have come in NIRF 2024 announcements. If you look at the college category, you know, we often focus on IITs and universities, but our colleges are also doing very well. And what is interesting is that if you look at the top 100 category of colleges in the college category, Tamil Nadu is topping. Tamil Nadu has nearly 37 colleges which have found their place among the top colleges in the country. And next comes Delhi with the 27 colleges and Kerala with 16 colleges among the top 100 colleges in the country. And again, if you look at the state public university category, Tamil Nadu is leading. Nearly 10 state public universities, notably Anna University, is doing very well, both in NIRF and also in the international rankings, which is a very good development. And then you have states like Delhi, Haryana, Kerala, Karnataka and Maharashtra finding place among the top state-funded universities, which is very, very encouraging to note. And if you look at some of the improvements that are happening in institutions which are participating in the institutional rankings, is that many, many institutions, they are now comparing themselves with their peers and identifying their own strengths and identifying areas of improvement. And this is a commendable aspect of this NIRF ranking, because it will provide an opportunity for those institutions which are lagging behind, an opportunity to improve. I would see NIRF ranking not as a signpost, not as a destination that you reach, but it is a process. So therefore, I strongly feel that it will elevate the standards of education in India. So through you, I would like to encourage our Indian educational institutions to actively participate in NIRF ranking process and involve themselves in the continuous improvement of their educational standards. Now, the reason why we need to do this is that while we continuously improve ourselves and improve our rankings in the NIRF ranking scheme, it will also help us in finding ourselves in the top universities among the global university rankings. So therefore, it has a kind of a chain reaction effect. It will help you find yourself in better rankings in NIRF, and also it will help our country to place our institutions among the top global universities in the world.
So, Professor Kumar, a very, very practical question I'm going to be asking you. From the institution's point of view, I'm certain that this is going to add to the equity of the institution, but from the parents or students' point of view, one, surely it is very aspirational to be in such an institute, but also it puts a lot of pressure on them to have admission in such institutions, because all said and done, it's all to do with the percentage that you achieve in class 12 or in your graduation or in the competitive exam that you enroll in. So does it not put a lot of pressure on the students?
Well, you see, in our country, considering the fact that there are lakhs and lakhs of students who aspire to have access to high quality education, there is an inbuilt competition. And certain amount of healthy competition is always useful in improving our own intrinsic performance. So as an individual student, I need to work hard in order to get in a good institution. But however, even if you miss out in joining an institution of your choice, you also have to check the quality of education in other institutions through the NAAC accreditation. Because NAAC, it looks at the performance of the institution over a period of time. During last 5 years, how have you performed in many of the parameters that NIRF uses? Whereas NIRF ranking is only yearly ranking. So you also have an opportunity to see the institution that you wish to join is reasonably doing well or not by observing the NAAC grading of these institutions. And even if you are not able to join in an institution which finds itself in the NIRF rankings, or you find that the NAAC accreditation of a particular institution is not so great, you don't have to be disappointed about it, because now you have many, many opportunities to access high quality education, even if you have joined in a university which may not have teachers in emerging areas. For example, you have enormous digital content that is available on Swayam platform. We have 3,000 courses. So even if you are studying in a not a college of your dreams, you can always earn credits from the Swayam platform and store them in the academic bank of credits and transfer to your institution, so that these credits will become part of your degree program.
So my next question to you is, how do the NIRF 2024 rankings influence government policies on higher education? And what measures can the government take up to help lower ranked institutions improve their performance in future rankings?
Right. As I said, that if you want to improve either NAAC accreditation, grades that you get, or NIRF ranking, because it is going to be a competitive process in NIRF ranking, you need to focus on continuous improvement. Just as I said, the state governments have to appoint and fill up the vacancies, and you ensure that the students are selected through a national entrance test such as CUET. When it comes to the PhD admissions, you select through the UGC national entrance test, so that the quality of the students that you are selecting into your institutions is also up to the mark. So there are several measures that the institutions have to focus on. And as far as the UGC is concerned, we regularly contact the educational institutions either through seminars or online meetings, meet the heads of the educational institutions and sensitize them on how to build better industry academia collaborations and how to improve the capacity building of the teachers, how to enhance the assessment processes. You see, getting better ranks in the NIRF is a comprehensive process. So you need to focus on several aspects of higher education in order to improve the ranks for the institution.
Okay. On that note, Professor Kumar, we would like to say that we are truly happy to have you with us, and thank you for your participation in today's program. Thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on India Rankings 2024 for Higher Educational Institutions. The participants were Professor N. Jagdish Kumar, Chairperson, UGC, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on EIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at eirnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-909-4044.